All right, Jake.
All right.
You are traveling through the forest. A group of goblins has been terrorizing your town as of the last few weeks. You come upon the mouth of a large cave. As you descend this cave, you get a very familiar stench. You know goblins have been here. As you reach the bottom of the cave, it opens into a wide cavern, and you see a group of six goblins sitting there in a circle. You see they have these small wooden carved objects that they're throwing into the middle and cheering and booing at certain results. And you see one of them at the head of this group has little logs kind of separating his scrawled papers from the other goblins, and he is saying things to them in the goblin language as they roll these carved little objects in front of them and cheer and boo. This goblin at the head of the group turns to you as you walk in, and he asks you a question, some advice.
Some advice?
He does. The goblin asks you, "How do you build a story skeleton? I was chatting with a couple other DMs last night, and I feel like they build a whole story concept out ahead of time, whereas I don't even start thinking of major BBEGs, big bad evil guys for the uninitiated, till after I've got character concepts. And even then, I'm pretty flexible about what comes next with a lot of improv during the next few sessions. I wanted to talk about DM prep, campaign prep, getting ready to run a campaign, because I had a feeling that you and I have very different processes for what that looks like. So what is your process? Walk me through it.
I think first of all, was that a Reddit post, Reddit user that
This
asked
is
this
a Reddit
question?
poster. This
What, who's
comes
this? This is from.
from a goblin whose name is Imaginary Teacher 129.
Imaginary Teacher 129. Thank you, Imaginary
The
Teacher
Imaginary
129.
Teacher 129, the goblin who is running a D&D campaign for fellow goblins in a cave.
I you know what? You explained this to me and I was present for it all and I thought it was hilarious. I didn't That's not what I thought was happening.
They were rolling dice. He had a DM screen. He
I
was
thought they were
partitioning his
gambling or something.
papers.
I was yeah,
They
I
were
should
play they were
it was
playing Dungeons and Dragons,
all the
Jake.
signs were there. All the signs were
They were
there.
cheering and booing at their natural 20s and natural ones.
Oh my God. I'm oblivious sometimes, okay?
It's all right. I understand.
Anyways,
But this
he
goblin needs
needs
your DM
advice.
advice.
He needs to make a world for his friends.
He's a star. He wants to. They're already playing, and
They
he hasn't built his campaign story yet. He doesn't know.
started playing and he doesn't know what's happening.
He's in a dire situation, Jake. He needs you.
He's fucking knucks deep and he doesn't know what the fuck is going on. This
We've been there.
poor
We've all been there.
son of a bitch. I. So, okay, I think I've DM'd probably 4 or 5 times, so I'm not as distinguished or honored of a DM as you are,
Can't be,
but
it can't only be 4 or 5 times.
I think
That's
it's
not
four or
fair,
five
Jared.
times. I did, okay, Monster of the Week, a Dungeon World, D&D, did I do D&D twice or once?
Definitely twice.
Twice, and that's it.
You've done Monster of the Week twice.
I've done my, so that's five.
Wow.
Yeah,
It might be
crazy.
five.
I think it's five.
Wow, I really am the forever DM. I figured we were more
Yeah, you've
even,
got
but
like a couple dozen.
we really aren't.
Well, to be
Yeah,
fair,
I couldn't even tell you how many I've done.
in high school, I didn't DM. I didn't DM
Right.
until after high school.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it was only me for years and years and years.
Only you and
Yeah.
one other person.
True. And even that was only
But
one or two. But yeah.
yeah. But usually what I like to do is like I like to think of something interesting about the world, like a cool hook. So my first like major campaign that I ran, I wrote this like really long journal basically, kind of like a Gravity Falls journal that had like monsters in it and like their weaknesses and their secrets and stuff in it. And like that object or one thing kind of like builds the world around it.
And you had that. That was a physical journal that you actually made.
Yes, I there's probably 40 pages in it or so that, and I drew I hand drew everything in it, and I wrote all the lore for it, and I had it like 90% written out before I even started this campaign. So I've one of my favorite things is like handouts and stuff. Like I like the physical props when I'm a DM, mm-hmm. because it like I think it helps like really cement things into reality, and it just Absolutely. Makes it,
any
like,
any campaign everyone I've played with you, loves you've had it. You've had incredible handouts, really good. Whether yeah, it's maps so, or
oh, yeah, puzzle I'm things, making a map, love making a map. But yeah, I really like making like. Centering the campaign around like one thing kind of specific, and it doesn't matter like if it's a linear or a sandboxy campaign. I think for the most part I've done pretty sandboxy.
Yeah.
I guess there's one linear one, but there's the hook. The hook is the important thing for me because that's what I have to like. That is the rest of the campaign that I think about, right? How does this hook play into whatever? What is this, that journal?
It's like
how
it's
does
the center journal... of the universe a little bit.
Yeah. And then everything kind of builds around it. So the last D&D one that I ran, kind of the hook for the world was each city. The cities were like a combined hook. And there's a lot of plot that focused around like each city, and each city, if you remember, each city was like a, they had like a niche that they fulfilled in the world,
right?
And that kind of like set up the world was like you knew you were gonna go back and forth between all these cities to find like a cult, basically hunt down a cult. So I know that if I have that hook, I can make. Other little things around it and then do like mostly improvising. But other than that, like I don't like other than like the handouts, I don't do a ton of prep.
Yeah. Which that is definitely the scale. There's definitely like some people that before a session have a ton of prep work. They know exactly how they want the session to go. And then there's people who are flying by the seat of their pants, total improv. And both can be good. I mean, you're going to have to do a little bit of both always. But I mean, I think you can be a very, very, very good DM either way. I wouldn't recommend one or the other. I think whatever is the most fun for you, whatever eases your anxiety the most, if it makes you more comfortable to have like a very solid outline for, you know, how you want a session to go, you know, who they're going to talk to, where they're going to go, and have it all fleshed out. Do it, you know, ease your anxiety, make the session more fun for yourself. You know, I mean, you're always going to have to improv stuff no matter what happens. But, you know, or if that sounds stressful to you, if doing that prep is more stressful, then be ready to just go in there and just feel it out and improv it, you know, and some people are very good at that. A couple of my campaigns have been basically improv, you know, like happens for sure.
I remember when I first started, I started on a Monster of the Week and I tried to like just prep every single situation that could have happened. It took me fucking hours and it was absolutely useless because there is no goddamn way I could have ever thought about what they would have done.
Yeah. So and you're always wrong.
I was always wrong. I just sit there being like, oh, like what? I don't have this written down. They weren't supposed to do this.
It happens every time.
Yeah, and then I just sit there. Well, I just wasted a couple hours of my life because I thought they were going to do this when they did not. Absolutely didn't even think about doing that. So then like it took like quite a while for me to break that cycle of just like sit there and try to prep everything that they would have done. To like try to make a decent cohesive story, and at the end of the day, even when they did do kind of what I wanted them to or what I thought they would have done, I think it was worse than when they just did the shit that I didn't think of. It was way more fun when they did the weird shit that they wanted to.
Right. I mean, yeah. Players are always gonna have more fun when they feel like they're really driving the train, you know. And it always happens. You always prep. You know, it's like, okay, last session they figured out that the evil orb of darkness is in this city. And so clearly that's the only way to go. And then you'll start the session. You'll have that whole city prepped and all the enemies and bosses and treasure and mm-hmm. the story. And then the session starts and the players are like, you know that one city you mentioned like 3 months ago? We want to go there. And you're yeah. like, what? You have nothing written down for that city. You don't even like remember the name. Like it happens every time. And so you'll definitely have to do both. My campaign prep, my kind of building a campaign yeah. or the, what is, or the skeleton
what is your,
of
what
it.
Is your first, what is your first three steps? What is Keegan's three first steps of building a campaign?
My get-rich-quick scheme.
the Ponzi
my,
scheme.
my Ponzi scheme to DMing. for me, it always starts with something that I've been like really inspired by. I love when I watch a TV show or read a book or watch a movie or play a video game, and I'm just like so like amazed by the world or the characters or some theming, the atmosphere, that I want to recreate something. And so that is typically where the very first inklings of a campaign will come from.
So step one.
Step one is the spark of inspiration, the catalyst, and then I typically start with atmosphere and vibe okay. because a lot we've played quite a few different systems at this point, and I the first thing typically I have to find out is which system I actually want to use, be it, you know, D&D 5th edition, Dungeon World, Monster of the Week, Call of Cthulhu. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of different things we could do. And so, I start thinking of the aesthetic and the vibe and what system is kind of going to lean into that. Like, a little sneak peek, you know, upcoming for us, for the listeners, we're a couple weeks out of starting a superhero campaign.
I was just about to say, like, I can totally see... I'm, like, literally visualizing your steps. I don't know what your inspiration... Well, I kind of probably know what your inspiration is for the superhero campaign.
Right.
But the vibe was off from what you wanted it to be.
Right.
Masks, because we were going to do masks, and then you decided on a different system. And that was a whole conversation that we had.
Yeah, I wanted to do superheroes, and I definitely was inspired by... There was a new season of Invincible recently... the new Daredevil show is coming out right now. I just played the Spider-Man 2 game. So I was definitely in the superhero mood. I knew that other people in our group were as well, and I wanted to play something. We had done a game called Masks, A New Generation before, which is a Powered by the Apocalypse game. But that is very centered on like Teen Titans type superheroes. Like you're a teenager, you're still in school, you're balancing all these different things. And that wasn't quite the vibe that I was going for. And I thought at first maybe I could work around it and ignore some of those things. But it is really baked into the system.
Yeah, it is core into the system that you are in school.
Yeah, it really is. And so I ended up looking for another system. And I found one called Sentinel Comics, which is a tabletop RPG. And I think that's going to work a lot better for us. So that's probably truly my first step, is establishing what I want in a campaign. So I knew I wanted superheroes, so I started looking for superhero systems. I knew that masks wasn't quite going to work, found another one. I was like, great. And so if you're familiar with the system, then great. If you're not, then I guess the next step would be to kind of learn that system, read the core rule book, watch some YouTube videos of people that have played it. And then a lot of my next steps are just brainstorming, just at work, or while I'm driving, or while I'm sitting at home, I'm thinking about the world, the campaign, the vibes. I definitely start to engage more in the things that initially inspired me. I find a new superhero TV show or a new superhero game to play to get more, you know, fuel for the fire. If I am learning the system, I'll listen to some actual plays for that system. I want to listen to how other people are playing it, how it's run, kind of the pace of it. And then that brainstorming really picks up, and I start thinking of, like, so I guess I'll keep going with the superhero kind of example. I start thinking of, like, oh, this would be a really cool supervillain if they had this power, and, you know, maybe they have this motivation. And it's like, okay, so I have this villain, and, oh, I need to name, you know, kind of the city that we're in. All right, so we have this city. Maybe I have some districts for it. You know, and I just A lot of mine starts with NPCs, specifically bad guys.
Really?
Just because that's very, I always find them, they're the most fun that's for true. Me. Because those do, are the those are the characters. I'm a bad guy guy. I'm not a bad guy, but I'm a bad guy guy. And those are the, because those are the NPCs as a DM that I get to play. That those are kind mm-hmm. of my characters in a true, way, you know, true. It's like, is those. And so I start, you know, trying to find some really interesting ones, you know, okay, you are a little and then shit who, too, and
really like playing a bad guy.
I love fucking you guys over. I want to be the blockade in your way, but I want to be the blockade in your side. Way. Yeah, I want to be the thorn in your side to success, though. Like, I want you guys to win and be awesome and have fun, but I have to throw a little roadblock in there first for you guys to smash through, and then you get to the end of the you know, the finish line. But yeah, so I start building up these bad guys. Who works for them? What are their motives? What are they doing in the world? Do they want money, power, control? Mm-hmm. You know, what's their deals? You know, do they? And that's kind of as far as I'll go for that. And then I'll start working on some NPCs that will kind of align with the party. You know, maybe there's some people that are, you know, for superheroes, this was some other superheroes that exist, right? Some NPC superheroes mm-hmm. that are good guys. And then, you know, I guess bouncing to more of a Dungeons & Dragons example, you're going to need some townspeople, some mayors, some guilds of different types, things like that. The true NPCs that your players will be interacting with that will be building the world. So you start, I guess this is a process for a totally homebrew campaign because this is what I do the most. I guess sidestepping a little bit, if you're running from a module, if you have like a D&D book that you're running or any other systems like adventure book, then you're just, I would read through that as much as you can. I would fully read the first couple chapters before you start to really get a vibe. You know, I don't always expect people to read through the entire thing, you know, in one go. I think be very, very familiar with the first couple chapters, maybe skim the rest so you know, you have at least a pretty good idea of the trajectory of the adventure. And then, you know, as your players start to progress through the campaign and you're running it, always try to be a chapter or two ahead of them. Mm-hmm. Just in case in a session they start making a lot of progress or something, be really familiar with at least the chapter they're in, maybe the next one, maybe even the one after that.
Yeah, when I ran Waterdeep, that was basically what I did. I was always one chapter ahead of you guys in my reading.
Right. Getting back to the I guess the kind of homebrew track I was on. Yeah, you're building all your NPCs, you're building your businesses, your governments, you know, whether that's fantasy or modern or whatever it is, for the players to interact with. And then I kind of start building the story through that. So I know that I have a bad guy that's doing this, and I know that I will have allies to the party that are doing this. And so where, you know, what is the progression of that? What does the bad guy do? You know, what does he trigger? Okay, he does this and this triggers some event. You know, how are the players going to be invested in that, and combat that and kind of start moving in that direction? And it's tough because you can't always know until the players have created their player characters. You know, you don't know what their motivations are going to be, what their backstory is, you know, kind of how they're going to lean into the story.
Yes.
And so I highly recommend, if you're worried about that, to do a session zero.
Yes. I want to make an amendment. I want to append mine.
Okay.
Because I like, for the last time sustained. I ran Dungeon World.
Sustained.
You would second the motion normally, not sustain.
I guess that's fair. That amendment would be it's not an objection.
Yeah. Oh. But I make you're such a fucker. I would make my hook. I'd like flesh out some things about the world, like maybe a city or two, kind of the general vibe, and then I would not do like a lot of my planning until I have a session zero. Yeah. Because I, like, the last time I ran a campaign, I had a list of questions that I asked you guys, and you guys made up some way cooler shit than I would have ever thought of.
Yeah, that's fantastic
tip. It was so collaborative. It felt so mm-hmm. good. And anytime you guys saw that thing that you came up with happen mm-hmm. in the game, it, like, I could tell that, like, everyone is so much more hooked just because they're like, oh my god, mm-hmm. that thing that I said is there.
Yeah, if you are still in the world building process and you're planning on having a session zero, I absolutely recommend that is write down some world building questions, some things that you haven't fleshed out yet. You know, maybe you have a city that you're not really sure what goes on there yet, or maybe there's a, you know, an enemy that you don't know much about yet, ask some questions to your players. You know, what happens in this city? And
I still have
my list. Give them some time.
I still have my list of questions. Like, and I look at it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, it's so much more interesting because your players will always come up with some crazy cool thing. But yeah, so a session zero, for someone that's not familiar, a session zero is a session where you are building your characters. You don't necessarily plan on playing the game yet. You could, but you don't. It's not necessarily the plan. You're going to build your characters. Kind of go over the system that you're playing, especially if your players aren't familiar with the system. Go over some rules, how it works, build your characters, you know, give a little bit of backstory maybe. And then as a DM, I like to always go over some kind of expectations. You know, this is the game I'm running. These are kind of the themes and the vibes, you know. So kind of build your characters around that. If you have any, like, this is a really good time for, like, some kind of ground rules, like things that you are or are not comfortable with, like, oh, I don't really want to get into, you know, these kind of themes, you know, I'm not very comfortable with that, so I'm just kind of setting that here, you know, just so it doesn't happen in game. It's always much more awkward and harder to deal with if something happens in game that someone's not comfortable with. So kind of take some time to establish that, what people are comfortable with and not comfortable with.
Yeah, like, obviously, Vampire is very sexual at times.
Yeah, Vampire the Masquerade, has a lot of drug use, sexual kind of themes implied in the character sheets even, you know. So that's one where it's like, you know, that might not be the best fit for every group. So, yeah, establishing those things early so that it doesn't become a problem later is always really good. And I think some players might not be as comfortable speaking up about those things, so giving them time in session zero, say, is there anything else, you know, people, things that you kind of, you know, aren't comfortable with?
Something like that, you could also definitely send each individual person a text in case they, like, don't want to send it to the group.
Yeah, that would be a great idea, too. That's a great idea. So that's kind of the goal of session zero, setting expectations, setting the themes, the vibes, building some characters. Then, once you have done that, and you know what characters everyone are playing, and maybe a little bit of their backstory or motives, then you can really start building the story because you can work their backstories into the main story. You know based off the character's vibes what they're going to be into. You know, like, let's say someone built a character that's like really involved with the criminal underground or something. Then you know, okay, I'm going to really flesh out this criminal underground because I know that might have a big part in this character's story and the story at large. Or maybe I'm going to make it a bigger part of the story than I initially intended because this character is so involved with it. So that's when you can really lay down some of the major, major groundwork and kind of foundation for how everything's going to run.
I'm not going to lie. I used to loathe session zeros. I hated them. I hated doing them. Yeah, because it was just like, I would like, this, well, just player Jake, right? I would be like, this is the player I want to play. Why I already know, like, my stats and stuff because we only play D&D and D&D Beyond. You don't really, using D&D Beyond and stuff, you don't really have to, like, sit around a table and go, all right, these are your spells. This is your potion.
Right. It's you pretty intuitive.
It's pretty easy to do. But since we started doing, like, some world building stuff, and I've just, like, it's become, like, one of my favorite parts of a campaign. Is just starting the campaign.
Yeah, especially when you get into that collaborative world building. I mean, it's so fun. And like for our upcoming superhero campaign, I have plans for that. I have some things I'm going to ask you guys. If you're ever planning, okay, so I'll actually give the example because I think this is a very good example. I was planning a superhero campaign and I knew it was going to be modern. Obviously, the city that I had based it in was New York City adjacent, right? That's where all the superheroes are. Mm-hmm. It's the classic thing, like, you know, Gotham, Metro City, you know, any city from any, you know, superhero media you've ever seen it's all basically New York, anyways. And I couldn't decide if I just wanted to call it New York City, just call a spade a spade and say you guys are in New York City, and then I can just use the New York City things like Times Square or Central Park or, you know, Harlem or the Financial District. You know, I can just use those in the campaign as reference points. You guys will understand them innately, you know, if you have any knowledge of New York, or it's something that's very easy to bring up visual references for or something. Sure. Or if I wanted to kind of homebrew my own, I have a name for it. It's called Silver City. and then you start naming, you know, but then if you kind of homebrew a city or name it something else, you gotta have to, you know, you can't have Central Park in Silver City if you're gonna do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta do it. So then you start naming all these things. You have, you know, okay, it's this park or whatever. And so I can't decide which one I want to do. And so that is one of the things I'm going to ask you at Session Zero, is if you guys would rather call it New York City and just have it be New York City and have it be that way, or if you're more invested, if it's kind of a made up city where we can add some things that don't exist mm-hmm. in New York City. So that'll be one of my Session Zero questions. So it took the load off of me as the Dungeon Master, because now instead of making this decision that I'm not sure about and then prepping it, I get to do it with everybody. It's collaborative.
And so you're a anytime bastard you reach an for impact, doing you that, can do that. And everyone feels good, I'm lazy, because they got to be involved.
Yeah. All right. I think we've given some great advice on building a story skeleton or some campaign prep, but I would love to get to at least another question.
Yeah, you said, so something I thought of, you were talking about creating NPCs early on. So, and I've noticed like a lot of NPCs that you've had, I really mm-hmm. enjoy. So how do you make a decent NPC?
That's a good question. I think the first step to a good NPC is knowing the purpose first. Mm-hmm. What purpose is this NPC serving in my campaign? Because you're going to have a lot of improvised NPCs. You're going to have a lot of like, oh, you walk into the shop and, you know, Shopkeeper Dave is in there, you know, and you can build those all out, or maybe they're in the book that you're running, whatever. But the other ones, you know, the bigger ones are what really matters. Your big bad evil guys and their henchmen.
Well, that is until they immediately fall in love with Shopkeeper Dave.
They will. And he will be in every session.
They'll go and ask him for advice, and always. He'll become like a mentor to them. And everyone loves Shopkeeper Dave.
Everybody loves him. So I start with that initial purpose. What purpose are they serving in the campaign? Are they an ally? Are they an enemy? Are they the
neutral?
Maybe they're neutral. Are they the kind of ending? You know, is this the big bad evil guy, the boss of the campaign, or is it a smaller, like I said, roadblock, I think is a good example, someone to get in the party's way along the way. So once you know what the purpose is, like I need an NPC to be, let's build a BBEG here, right? I need the NPC to be the bad guy. You know his purpose in the campaign. He's going to do an evil thing, a grand evil thing. The party's going to have to stop him. They're going to save the day by defeating him, and it'll be this great kind of finale to a campaign. So you know the purpose. What is the, I think next for me would be, what is the motivation? You know they're going to do an evil thing. Why? And you can start looking into your world for why. So let's use a media example. So just some, I guess something, people have something to kind of compare to. So let's look at like Thanos or something, right? Thanos's why. His purpose was to create a universe-shattering event that the heroes of the story were going to have to stop, right? He was going to snap. That was the purpose of Thanos.
Get rid of half of all life to make a more sustainable...
Well, hold on, we're not there yet. You're skipping ahead.
Okay, sorry.
That is his motive. Well, actually, those are two things. One of those things is the motivation. Mm-hmm. Next is the motivation. Why are they doing the evil thing? We know he's going to do an evil thing. We know he's going to snap. That's the evil thing. His motivation for doing the evil thing is there's not enough resources. There's too many people. So, you know, someone has to do something about it. You know, that's his motivation. He thinks that he's going to save the world or save the universe by cutting the population in half so that there's enough resources to go around. Why would you not snap to double the resources? I don't know. But that's neither here nor there. So we know the evil thing. He's snapping. We know the motivation. Mm-hmm. Not enough resources. Next is the means of what he's going to do. And for Thanos, his means were he was going to gather the Infinity Stones and put them in the Infinity Gauntlet, which would give him immense power, so that he could snap, fulfilling his motivation, right? And that's And you're kind of there, right? So let's make one now. Let's make a fictional one to kind of put that in perspective. We are going to make a... Oh, okay. This is tough. I've put myself on the spot.
What kind of BBG are you looking for?
Right. What is the purpose? He's going to do an evil thing. Leader. We know
he's,
that.
He's got a cult. He's going to
summon... Well, hold on. We got to follow our steps. His purpose...
Is to summon an Eldritch God.
Is to summon an Eldritch God. I like that. His motivation. Why would he summon an Eldritch God? Because the Eldritch God... No. Because the Eldritch God is going to give him immense power, along with his cult, along with his followers, and they're going to purge those the people that he doesn't like, that don't align with him, that don't agree that he should have limitless power. His means to do that is that he must collect 3 ancient arcane tomes stashed within the deepest, most secret ruins and vaults of the continent. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now, I mean, this just builds into so many things, right? Now, we've got to establish where these 3 vaults are and where these arcane tomes are. And, you know, this vault, now you're designing a dungeon for this vault, right? But we know he wants 3 of them so that he can summon the Eldritch God so that he can have limitless power along with his cult, and him and his cult can rule the world by themselves.
Excellent.
And then the rest is kind of flavor. What does he look like? Maybe he's got a red robe and big horns and glowing red eyes, you know, and pale skin and tattoos that cover his body. Anything that sounds cool to you, whatever seems menacing or not menacing. I don't think Thanos particularly is the most menacing looking villain. He's kind of odd looking.
He's introduced in Infinity War and he just kicks the shit out of the Hulk. That's a pretty good mood setting right there.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But
him being a giant purple guy, just it looks right. He's not right. Like, I'm he's just talking about unassuming that way, I guess.
Yeah, that was an action that he did that really set the tone. You're right. Mm-hmm. But I just mean, clearly aesthetic wise, if you're just looking at him, kind of an odd look. So that's kind of how you decide. Do you want this big bad evil guy to look evil? You know, there's some, you know, when you look at Count Dracula like that, you're like, that guy's bad. He's a bad guy. You know, he's got fangs. He's got this slicked, you know, back black hair. He's got this amulet around his neck. Red and black is a very, you know, kind of evil color. A lot of things about Dracula point you to be like, this guy
dresses fancy.
Yeah, he's got this regal suit on this. And stuff. So kind of decide your aesthetics for them. What do they sound like? Do they have an accent or a creepy voice or, you know, something about their cadence of speech that's interesting? And then kind of their personality. How do they actually interact as an NPC? When your players confront them, what does that conversation look like? Are they kind of pompous and better than you and you don't understand anything and I know the truth? Or are they kind of more conniving and they're looking for a way to trick you? And, you know, there's so many different things you could do. Or are they just brutalist, just in, you know, pure strength and intimidation, and you're in the way and I'm going to do this, you know? There's so many different ways you could take it. And then at that point you have the purpose that they're fulfilling within the campaign. You have their motivation to do that thing. Why are they actually doing that thing? You have the means for them to do that thing. You have their look, you have their personality, you know, their speech, their cadence, all those things. You have a villain. I mean, that's it. You have a BBEG. You have a Thanos, Count Dracula, whatever level villain. Mm-hmm. And you can really repeat that on a smaller scale by maybe taking away some of the steps. You know, maybe there's a smaller adjacent bad guy who's also going to be in the story. Maybe, you know, he doesn't need a full motivation. He just has a bad, you know, you just have a personality. He's just a conniving, you know, weaselly character, and he's going to steal something from the party. You know, he has a purpose. I want him to steal something from the party. And maybe that's kind of all you plan for him. And the rest can be improv along the way. But for your big, bad, evil guy, I think if you follow those steps, you'll end up with a pretty damn good NPC. And that's not just big, bad, evil guys. You can do those things for ally NPCs, neutral NPCs. What is their purpose to fit in the campaign? What is their motivation to do that thing? What are their means to actually do that thing? Their purpose could be that they're going to help the party get the three tomes, you know, before the Big Bad Evil Guy, the three arcane tomes in the vaults. And their motive can be that, you know, they are a family, you know, a very person that cares about their family. And so they want to save their family. They want to save the world as well. They're very invested. Their means are maybe they're a cleric to a god. And so they have some religious abilities or knowledge about these tomes. And so that's the means that allows them to go on this adventure and help the party. You can follow the same process for all of your NPCs at as in depth as you want to go, more in depth for the more important NPCs, less in depth for less important NPCs. And I think you've got a good roster. I'm sorry, I talked for a really long time. I would love to hear your thoughts on some NPC creation.
No, I think everything you said was pretty good. I remember a long time ago, we were I think right before I DM'd for my like second time. I remember I asked you, like, what do you do when you're making an NPC on the fly? Because I knew I was going to be doing it, like, going to have to do it, and I had no fucking idea how.
Yeah.
And the thing that you told me was, what is their motivation and what are they afraid of? And that should be able to cement them, like, pretty well into the world. And I've, like, kind of stuck with that. I've kind of just continued to stick with that for, I mean, yeah. I'm still doing that whenever I... and running something, like if it's an NPC that I don't know, like it's like, oh, what's, it's really easy to just be like, what is this person's purpose, like job or whatever. I mean, it could be job,
that,
it could
be
like
a great one for small scale.
Yeah. And then what are they afraid of? And then like, bam, you've got a person that feels like they are actually like alive in the world. And that makes sense. And it, you know, you're not just like fucking coming up with Mike Coxlong and in the world. And it's just a dude that like comes up
Dave
and like,
the
punches someone. Yeah, Dave the shop. No, we love Dave the shopkeeper. Fuck off.
even on the smallest scale, even like a literally a shopkeeper NPC. If you know their motivation, maybe their motivation is just to peddle their wares. They want to sell these items and they want to make money. And what are they afraid of? They're afraid of losing money. They're afraid of losing their business. They want to make the most money possible. With just those two things, which you know is just an on the fly improv thing you can come up with. You know how that NPC will react to any situation. If the NPC, if the player characters come in and they say, "We want to give you money in exchange for your items," you already know this NPC. That's his whole shtick. He's like, "Great, that's why.
Like, holy shit,
that's exactly why I'm
you're here
for.
To do exactly what I love."
If the player characters come in and say, "We want to steal your money and steal your items," he's gonna react poorly. This is obviously like a really dumbed down, watered down, simple version, but. You can do that with any NPC if you've established what they want and what they're afraid of. You know that they're what their reaction will be to anything because you can take whatever happened and does it play into what they want? Then they'll have a positive reaction. Does it play into what they're afraid of? They'll have a negative reaction. It works on any scale. And you could even take that all the way up to a BBG and have a very serviceable BBG. I do think you could flesh out more, but I think you could absolutely get away with that.
That's just like that's the groundworks, right? Once you get the once you get the basics really nailed, like that's when you can start like really easily coming up with like NPCs that the players love and like actually care about.
And absolutely take that feedback, right? If even if it's a silly NPC or a serious NPC, big or small, if your players really latch onto an NPC that they really like, maybe it's because they're funny, maybe it's because they're Dave the shopkeeper, or I remember in one of our campaigns, I had a goblin named Knee Slapper that would just like tell jokes and stuff, and you guys loved that little motherfucker. You loved him. And so, you know, regardless if you came up with it during improv or whatever, if your NPCs really or if your PCs, sorry, love an NPC, keep him around, you know, make him a bigger part of the story. Maybe you didn't have a motivation for him before or a backstory or anything, and maybe you can add one in between sessions now to get him more involved because your players loved him so much, you know?
Yeah, we've had some really fun NPCs show up. And
we talked about doing an episode where we talk about some of our favorite player characters. We might also
have to talk
about a favorite non-player characters. I have a lot of those.
Yeah, you've got way more than I do. It'd be me running the player character show and you running the non-player character show.
Oh, let's do that. Let's you host the player character ones and pick some of your favorites of your own and other players you've played with, and then I'll host the non-player.
Well, no, it's got to be the other way around. You host the player character one. Because I would be the contestant. Who's your favorite?
Ah, I see. You can play the other side of it. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that sounds super fun. Wow, we're coming up on 40 minutes. I could do this forever.
I could literally talk about this for the rest of my life.
We are creeping closer and closer to these episodes being an hour long. It very well may happen. Yeah. I could talk about tabletop RPGs forever. This has been so fun. I'm enjoying this so much. This is episode 3. And I couldn't be happier about this. I love talking tabletop RPGs. I love spending some time with my buddy Jake. Mm. And I love that we have such different takes on things. We don't agree, and
we're just best friends. Very fun. And you know, sometimes I say something that's stupid, and you hate me for maybe, I don't know, 30 seconds, and then we get over
it. Yeah, that sounds like me. Yeah, no, I love that we have different takes, because like I don't want to just parrot the same thing to each other. You know, have this little echo chamber of tabletop RPG stuff. Yeah, it'd be two guys
jerking each other off in a fucking podcast, like every other goddamn podcast. There's enough
of those. There's enough of those. Clearly, so. That, I think, is going to wrap this episode up. Go back. I think episode 2 was very fantastic if you haven't listened. We will have our email in the description. So take a look at that. Or you can actually leave a comment. I know that's a newer kind of feature on Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify.
I don't see a lot of people use that.
I've literally never seen a comment on Spotify before.
I've never either.
So I'm very interested
to see how it will have like one.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how that shows up.
Yeah, so feel free to email us with the email or leave a comment with a question about tabletop RPGs, question about us, a funny tabletop RPG story, or maybe even a bad story where things went really wrong. We would love to share it and talk about it on here and maybe give a little bit of advice of like maybe how we would have handled that.
Pose us
specifically
questions.
And I more mean, broad.
That's all we're doing here is we're just answering.
That's all we're
questions.
Doing. I would love if so we if got to a point where we were like, dude, strictly doing viewer stuff and
if,
not just Reddit.
If there, I would love to just sit here and answer viewer questions because I like that makes me feel a lot more useful.
Yeah, it's like people. Yeah,
like the people that are listening are actually listening because they want our advice. Like that's so cool.
Rather than just giving it out.
Yeah, we give it out. We give it out because we think we have good advice.
Yeah, we don't. We're having fun. But yeah, so please email us or leave a comment. Check out our other podcast, The Northwood Project. That's more of a kind of passion project. It's a lot more labor intensive, so it's a much slower go, which is kind of why we started this. But it's a horror anthology. If you like Magnus Archives or anything like that, you'll love it. And I think that'll be it for us. We've been the Gelatinous Dudes. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.